Williams talking fussy, but on the inside. Anyway.
No.
Go and watch Sorry, the birdcage hikes. We'll go to a song, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about Alma from Coronation Street.
Okay. Right, our first song up is Na Iwi E. Here we go.
That is correct. Alrighty, brace yourselves.
No.
If I'd thought about it, I would have had the theme on my phone ready to go. A former Coronation Street star has revealed she believes she would have been sacked if her sexuality became public, as she reflects on decades spending hiding her identity and says she will still be learning how to be free at the age of 90. Writing in the I paper, actor Amanda Barry, who played Alma Halliwell on the ITV soap, said she was convinced during the time on the show in the 1980s that coming out would have ended her career. Even as an actress, I was not always possible to be open, she wrote. I firmly believed during the time in Coronation Street in the 1980s that I would have been asked if my sexuality became public knowledge. She added that the close association between actors and their characters meant producers would have feared backlash from audiences, writing that it would almost certainly have been felt that our viewers would not accept a gay Alma. Barry described those fears shaped her life for decades, saying she became accustomed to living in the shadows after years of concealing her sexuality. She said the culture she grew up in made openness possible, recalling homosexuality wasn't a word you even heard mentioned. I, like so many, lived in a life of denial. At school, she said she tried to conform despite recognizing her feelings for other girls. I even invented boyfriends so that I would fit in, she wrote, adding that she had, in reality, been deeply in love with the head girl. Barry later married actor Robin Hunter in 1967, saying the relationship was genuine, but she continued to suppress her identity for many years. Her article also reflects how many marketedly attitudes have changed since then. She noted that Coronation Street now features numerous LGBTQ plus characters, remarking, "Now Coronation Street abounds with many gay characters, to the extent that I've wondered if it should be renamed Canal Street." So over in,
I don't know what that means.
So there is a famous street over in, I think it's Manchester, called Canal Street, and it's just like gay bars, and yeah.
We call it K Road here.
Yeah, like our version of K Road almost. She added, Riley, so it was occurred to me that maybe I was wrong. Maybe it is catching. Mm-hmm. Barry still finds it difficult to adjust to modern acceptance, writing, "I still half expect people to disapprove of me having a wife rather than a husband, and I doubt I will ever stop being surprised. Nowadays, at last, nobody seems to care." She married her longtime partner, novelist Hilary Bonner, in 2014. Hilary Bonner, in 2014, after the same-sex marriage was legalised in the UK. She admitted the legacy of years spent hiding her identity continued to weigh on her, even on her wedding day. "Old fears die slowly," she wrote, explaining that after so many years of hiding my real self, a little part of me did wonder if I might be arrested on the way out. Looking back on her life, Barry said that she recognised her feelings from a young age, recalling how traditional stories never quite fit her experience. As a child, she would lie awake thinking how the story be set in a time when women can marry women. Her reflections highlight both the pressures faced by LGBTQ plus people in previous decades and the extent of social change in Britain, with Barry describing a journey from secrecy and fear to later life sense of openness. Yeah. I didn't realise that her character's last name was Halliwell, because she ended up marrying Mike Baldwin. So I always thought it was Alma Baldwin. There we go.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Some Coronation Street gossip.
Yeah, I think her character ended up dying of cancer.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure Mike Baldwin, which is her husband, got dementia.
He died.
And he had like a heart attack or something.
He died in Ken Barlow's arms.
Yeah, that's right, on the street. Ken found him out wandering. And which is really weird, because Ken Barlow and Mike Baldwin were like rivals for Deirdre's affections.
That came up in their last conversation.
Yeah.
As he was dying.
I
saw that on Facebook.
I remember being in high school when Deirdre went to prison for killing her, at that point, husband. She didn't, but they thought she did. And I think that's why she went to prison. And someone put on the class notices, so it went round in every class. Free Deirdre Rahihi. Yeah, it was funny. Or whatever the last name was. Free Deirdre Rashid. I think it was Rashid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was funny though. It was super funny. Anyways.
Right. Our next song up from the Top Twins anthems tonight is Jean Emily.
Can I ask a personal question?
Yes.
Do we have Calf Club Day? Yes.
Maybe. I'm not telling you until it gets there.
Calf Club Day is my favourite. Thank you.
Here we go. Jean Emily.
Oh,
That was Top Twins with Jane Emily.
All right.
Who's up next?
I will. Let's go with this one. Australian MP ordered to pay $100,000 to rival over homophobic post. Mark Latham, former federal Labor leader and One Nation MP, has been ordered to pay the maximum $100,000 penalty to Sydney MP Alex Greenwich after a New South Wales Civil and Administrative Tribunal found a social media post Latham made amounted to unlawful vilification based on sexuality. The ruling adds to an earlier federal court decision that deemed the same post defamatory, with Mark Latham already ordered to cover Greenwich's $140,000 legal costs. The tribunal described Latham's original comments as so extreme that the media outlets refused to repeat it, signalling a clear breach of acceptable public discourse. The case stems from a heated exchange between two politicians in 2023 after violent protests outside his church in Sydney, where Latham was giving a speech at the time. After Latham's offensive post, Greenwich's office was inundated with abuse, including threats and hate messages. Evidence presented to the tribunal showed the impact was severe, with a psychologist confirming Greenwich met the criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder. Mr. Latham's comments sought to reduce my identity to a sex act and then imply I'm a danger to children, Greenwich said as part of the evidence in the tribunal. Mr. Latham's comments have impacted my ability to attend large gatherings out of fear that people will ask me questions about Mr. Latham or engage in violence against me, he continued as per Daily Mail. The tribunal rejected Latham's argument and said he was not responsible for the backlash, ruling that his comments directly fueled the surge in hostility. Greenwich welcomed the decision as a landmark moment for LGBTQ plus protections, emphasizing that public figures cannot use online platforms to spread harmful rhetoric without consequences. Latham, meanwhile, has shown no sign of backing down, criticizing the ruling and indicating he plans to appeal. The tribunal also ordered him to remove any further vilifying content and refrain from making similar statements in the future. He is going to be out a pretty penny if he's already ordered to cover $140,000 in legal fees as well.
Watch this space.
Will they ever learn? Well, will they ever pay it? That'd be another thing. But
Did you all see the post from Harvey Firestein?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
About his T-shirts? Oh, absolute gold.
I want that T-shirt.
Be straight in your own damn time.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can post it to our Facebook page. He's a legend.
Right. Our next song up from the Top Twins is...
Is it Glove Club Day?
Is it indeed?
Yay, thank you.
Here we go, Glove Club Day.
This morning, memories I pass. Those days, they sure went fast.
that was Cars Club Day with Top Twins.
Okay.
All right, who's got the next?
Okay, good old Chucky. The
can,
UK.
Can we stop calling him Chucky? Because I just keep thinking the creepy doll. Can you call him Charlie?
Can you imagine him as a doll?
Or Camilla's better half, or something like that.
Oh,
Camilla's.
I'm
toy.
Not sure he's the better half, but no. I don't think either of them is the better
Camilla's
half.
Camilla's lover.
Oh, that would be an interesting pair of dolls. Anyway, so
interesting news from Camilla's lover.
The UK government has pledged a trans-inclusive ban on conversion therapy. A draft conversion practices bill was included in the King's Speech, outing Labour's legislative programme for the coming parliamentary sessions. Interesting. Oh, sorry, outlining, not outing. Might slip out. Little Freudian slip there, people. The government committed to eradicating what it called abusive practices in line with a pledge made in its 2024 election manifesto. Officials say the ban will be carefully targeted to avoid interfering with legitimate healthcare for those exploring their sexual orientation or gender identity. The legislation will cover England and Wales only. As criminal laws, law is devolved across other UK nations. I didn't know that.
I know in Scotland it's them moving towards independence.
Right.
Yeah.
And will be published for pre-legislative scrutiny to allow expert and stakeholder input from as it progresses further. A conversion therapy ban was first promised in 2018, 7 years and multiple governments ago. There we go. We'll see how far it goes this time.
Wow, they've got a fairly supportive, you would think, government at the moment.
Okay, so they might get it through.
They might, yeah.
I think it's great if they get it through. Will it stay there?
Well, we've seen what Trump's been doing with undoing things.
Yep.
All right, our next top twin. We are halfway through the lineup of the top twins' anthems for New Zealand Music Month, and it's the fact that it's their birthdays.
Anthems, even.
I would say a lot of their songs are anthems, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is country music.
A lot of us are turning out that way. Sing along, that's why you'll stay.
That was Top Drawings with Country Music. Yes. Right. I'm going to get read now from the sports desk. The 2026 World Cup is facing mounting controversy after Iranian football officials formally demand restrictions on pride flags and protest banners during matches involving Iran. The request has intensified concerns among LGBTQIA plus fans and human rights groups, particularly ahead of the designated Pride match set to take place in Seattle during the tournament. FIFA has yet to publicly respond to the demands, which comes just weeks before the World Cup begins across the United States, Canada and Mexico. The Football Federation and the Islamic Republic of Iran has reportedly presented FIFA with a list of 10 conditions surrounding Iran's participation, including demands that only officially recognised nations' flags be permitted inside stadiums during its Iran's matches. You know what? They could just not participate if they don't like it. Quite simple. Really? If accepted, the move would effectively ban pride rainbow flags alongside opposition banners and political protest symbols. The issue also highlights the severe treatment of LGBTQI plus people in both countries. In Iran, homosexuality remains punishable by death under Islamic law. In Egypt, same-sex relationships are frequently prosecuted under morality and debauchery laws, with penalties reportedly including imprisonment and hard labour. I think the FIFA need to stand up and say, no, they're not going to tolerate this. And if Iran don't like it, they don't need to participate in the World Cup.
It's interesting that there's that game, the Pride game, to be held in Seattle. And I understand that around Seattle already they've got rainbow flags and rainbow insignia all over the place ready for the Pride match, which will be, I understand, between Iran and Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so going to get messy.
Yep. Well, we'll be interested to see what they do.
And then, yeah. Mm.
Yep.
Human rights minded teams could play.
They could just want to be difficult.
They could.
All that will happen is you'll just have everybody outside protesting, but as people go in. They won't stop it. Oh, that's for sure. We look forward to seeing the outcome of that one.
Or they could sprinkle all the seats with glitter so that when you go, your ass is, when you leave, your ass is covered.
No. Just no.
I just think that's a really cute idea.
No. Just a little bit too far.
Because then the
environmentalists will be up in arms.
Yeah, and if you got biodegradable glitter, it's probably just going to melt in the fart juices.
Right, our next song from the Top Twins is called Tomboy. Here we go.
Learn how to cook and look for the mystery.
Miles Tomboy from the Top Twins. Right, who's up next?
I've known a few boys called Tom.
Tom.
I've known a few Tomboys too.
Tom, short for Thomas.
So I heard that the name Tom was originally just a slang term for, you know, just a...
prostitute?
No, no, no.
Because it was.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, back in England.
Okay.
Yeah, she's an ex-Tom, that girl. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. But I'd heard it was like, yeah, it was just a derogatory term for an anybody, sort of, but no one special. Oh. Sort of like a...
Tomcat.
I suppose Tomcat, that kind of works in with the different name for a prostitute thing as well, because it's just... And I don't mean that in an offensive way, but you know what I mean. Two Women's Institute branches closed after 72 years following resignations over trans membership policy. Two long-established branches of the Women's Institute, known as the WI, in Bristol have closed after senior committee members resigned in protest at a national policy change restricting membership to women born female. The Longwell Green Women's Institute... The Longwell Green Women's Institute, founded in 1954, formally ceased operating on the 1st of April after 72 years of activity, while the Westbury on Time? Time? It's about T-R-Y-M, but I'm going to say Time. Westbury on Time branch was voted to wind down after a membership ballot. The closures follow a decision by the National Federation of Women's Institute, known as the NFWI, announced in December 2025 that April 2026, trans women would no longer be permitted to hold formal WI membership. The Federation said that the move was required to ensure compliance with the UK Supreme Court ruling on the legal definition of sex under Equality Act 2010. In a statement, the Longwell Green branch said that the resignations were direct as a result of the change in national policy and the way it was introduced, adding that some members had decided not to renew their membership as a consequence. A special meeting overseen by the Avon Federation of the WI subsequently voted in favour of closure. Before closing, Longwell Green WI had grown to more than 80 members and described itself as providing friendship, well-being, interests and support within the local community. The Westbury on Time branch also voted to close after its committee declined to implement the new membership requirements. Francis Riley, a committee member, told local media that the members were asked to sign a form confirming that they were born female and that they were informed that they would have to resign if they did not comply. The whole committee of eight decided that it was a decision we weren't prepared to go along with, she said, following the committee's stance, and more than three quarters of the branch members voted to suspend the group with full closure expected after a period of inactivity. Ms. Riley said the decision was taken out of conscience and conviction, and described it as an outcome that members had never expected to face. The NFWI has said that it regrets the change but maintains it's necessary for the organisation to continue operating as a single-sex charity under existing law. Chief Executive Melissa Green said the Institute had welcomed trans women for decades, but now had to act in accordance with the Supreme Court judgment. The Federation has also said that it supported the creation of local WI sisterhood groups intended to provide social gatherings to all women, including trans women, outside of formal WI membership structures. The closure in Bristol came amid reports that the WI branches across Britain and the UK, were reassessing their future following the policy change, with some suspending activities and others continuing alternative community-based groups. It is a shame that all of that history goes down because of a silly law change over in the UK, because some people are just... Yeah.
Words we cannot say on air.
Words I cannot really repeat on air.
Well, you could say things like far out brown cow, because you'll probably,
yeah,
creative English.
It's just ridiculous. It's silly. Cool that they've created like a sisterhood group, but it's a shame that they've had to do that because of
It's kind of it's almost
just silly,
dismissive and patronizing.
Well, as in like, hey, we can't do that, but we'll start up this other year anyway. Let's go to a song.
Okay,
before I say something
from the Top Twins is the New Zealand Icon. That was New Zealand Icon. So, who we got? We're going to do the last two articles, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Go.
New research suggests that the common belief that exercising in a chest binder is always unsafe may not be supported by current evidence. The preliminary findings shared ahead of the full academic publication expected later in 2026 found no significant differences in lung function, upper body strength, cardiovascular fitness or comfort between people exercising in a binder and those that were not. Studies have reported that up to 87% of trans and gender diverse people assigned female at birth have bound their chest at some point. Binding has been linked to improved mental health outcomes, including reducing gender dysphoria, anxiety and depression, and better overall quality of life. It does not prove that there are no risks associated with binding during exercise, the research states. Key limitations identified include it only looked at short-term effects, not long-term use. It did not assess skin irritation or body temperature changes. All participants were incorrectly fitted binders, and the results may be different for those with an incorrectly fitted binder. Though in a separate 2025 study of trans and gender diverse teens who regularly bind reported similar findings showing no significant impact on exercise capacity, but more work is needed, especially around long-term use and real-world conditions. For now, the findings help shift the conversation towards evidence-based guidance and help people make informed decisions about their bodies.
Which I just think it goes along, and if it's done properly, it shouldn't be. And it's the same. I guess it's... To me, binding is in that same camp, with bigger busted people who wear sports bras or training bras, right? That's the whole.
I think
it's similar.
Is probably more.
It's more intense as far as the compression.
Knitting and compressing and.
And yeah, you definitely can't. Well, you can deep breathers and you can belly breathe, but you can't deep breathers and your lungs expand fully comfortably.
Would it almost be like when
corsets? I can deal with my own microphone, thank you. we used to wrap the Drag Kings industrial grade wrap.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's got to be far worse than binding because it has no give.
Yeah, but that's still, you know, running around stage and dancing and stuff.
Oh, so. But it's one of those things. I think there's actually, again, if it's done, or you use proper binders that fit.
Yeah.
And you get then.
Yeah.
So this isn't like the Victoria binding.
No.
This is
more. But I don't recommend exercising in a corset, by the way.
You sound like you've experienced this.
I haven't exercised in a corset, but I've worn a corset a few times. And as comfortable as they are for about 10 minutes, you get really over it after a while.
Yeah.
Sitting down is a whole new situation.
You're probably also significantly warmer than normal as well, just having something constricting and tight to you.
Yes. Yeah.
Right, next article.
Okay, so the European Parliament has voted in favour of a ban on conversion therapy. Okay, the demand has now been sent to the European Commission for a response.
There we go.
And because of that, I think Poland, I know it's not so that legislation,
Poland's
but Poland.
A shake along. Yep.
Yeah, and they've actually.
Is there any more to that article? We've got.
So I've got more articles.
Yeah.
The City of Sydney Council passed a motion reaffirming its commitment to protecting the safety of LGBTQIA+ residents. The motion recommended that calls on the New South Wales governments to enact urgent legislative reform to strengthen the strike's response, the state's response to targeted violence against LGBTQIA+ individuals. About time. So there we go.
Right. Have you got one more there, Scott?
I do.
Let's go.
Just weeks after the US Supreme Court struck down Colorado's ban on conversion therapy for minors in an 8-1 ruling that cast doubt on similar laws nationwide, A Catholic Church report is warning that so-called reparative therapies have caused LGBTQ+ Catholics profound suffering and spiritual harm.
No.
Just the Catholics or just people in general?
The published document comes from the theologians assembled for the late Pope Francis, Synod of Bishops. Remarkably, it includes testimony from two Catholic gay men in same-sex marriages, both of whom were previously subjected to so-called conversion therapy that alone drew praise from advocates. The document stops short of a blanket condemnation of such ministries and notes that they attempt to provide pastoral care to underserved Catholics. However, it also brings to light the many misunderstandings within the Christian community rooted in attitudes of homophobia and transphobia, the report says. Ultimately, the report argues that the church must create an environment of inclusion rather than pushing LGBTQ+ Catholics away from faith.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which I believe is what many of the community have been saying for many years.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything new that it's causing issues, but
I mean, a couple of things. With the two people who were interviewed, one is it didn't work, unless they're in relationships now.
Yeah, it's just same sex.
Lord knows. Other is Catholic Church, get your crap sorted.
There was a documentary done years ago about conversion therapies and how people thought they worked and stuff, and there were several different kinds, some really, really horrific when they were doing like shock therapy and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there was one that was like some witch doctor in Africa somewhere who they would scan the brain and be able to tell if the person was gay or not from the brain scan, but it turns out that the doctor doing it was like colourblind. It was really ridiculous. It was non-science that wasn't science. Yeah.
And I think ultimately the ones that quote-unquote work, it's more around changing the person's perspective and telling them that it's a bad thing to do and that they're bad for feeling that way. So they're not fixing the so-called problem. It's just something like that the person will hide.
They're almost giving it a name. And
isn't the whole idea of anything in the faith community that it shouldn't be causing harm? You know, what, like...
Yep.
And let's face it,
but also homosexuality wasn't put into the Bible until I think it was the 20s.
Yeah, it's all around the translation.
Yes. Just ridiculous. Anyway, that is us for today.
Yes, our last song that we're going to play out to for the evening is by the Top Twins, but it's Untouchable Girls.
Nice.
Here we go, folks.
Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
Together. said we'd walk together, darling, come what may. And that come the twilight, should we lose our way? If as we're walking, a handshake slippery, I'll wait for you, and should I fall behind, will you wait for me?
We slowly travel, darling, side by side, and we help each other stay in stride. But each lover's steps fall so differently. I'll wait for you, should I fall behind? You wait for me. So let's make our steps clear, so the other man.